Welcome back to The Deep Dive, where we unpack the extraordinary and bring you the stories behind the knowledge. Today, we're plunging into a world of sound, a universe crafted by one incredible voice, a true chameleon of audio who has shaped so many of our most beloved animated worlds and iconic brands, too. We're talking about William Richard Wurstein, universally known as Billy West.
It's a remarkable phenomenon, really, how one individual can embody such a vast, just a huge pantheon of characters, voices that are instantly recognizable. You hear them and you know them, yet somehow they're entirely distinct from one another.
Exactly.
Our mission in this deep dive, well, it's to explore not just his astonishing vocal range, which is, you know, incredible in itself, but also the rich tapestry of experiences, the things that happened in his life that forged this unique talent. And of course, the profound decades-long impact he's had on animation, radio, and just popular culture in general.
Absolutely. Just think about it for a second. From the frantic energy of Bugs Bunny to the, you know, the endearing cluelessness of Philip J. Fry, or the cynical wit of the red M&M, even the goofy, slobbering charm of Stimpy, Billy West is just, he's everywhere.
He really is.
His voice is woven into the very fabric of our entertainment landscape. We're going to trace his journey right from his early life struggles through his foundational radio days, which were super important, into his groundbreaking television roles on shows you literally grew up with. I mean, literally. And even into his surprising musical ventures. Yeah, he does music too. And crucially, we'll delve into some of the deeply personal insights he shared, insights that reveal the complex, resilient, and utterly unique man behind all those voices.
Yeah, you might already recognize his voice from countless shows, commercials, video games you encounter like every day. But by the end of this deep dive, you won't just recognize him. You'll hopefully gain a profound sort of nuanced appreciation for the sheer artistry involved, the unwavering dedication, and just the monumental volume of work he has contributed to our collective memory. He doesn't just, like, do voices for characters. He breathes life into them. He transforms them into figures that truly feel like old friends, you know, etched into our cultural consciousness. Prepare to hear him in a whole new light.
Okay, so where does a talent like this even begin? How does it take shape? Let's rewind all the way back to the very beginning. William Richard Wurstein, born around 1952 in Detroit, Michigan, industrial heartland.
Right. And his background, it's Irish descent. And his early life wasn't static at all. He was split between two pretty different environments.
Yeah, which probably contributed to his adaptability, right? His observational skills. He spent formative years navigating the vibrant, historic streets of Boston, specifically its diverse Roslindale neighborhood. And also the more maybe suburban landscapes of New Jersey. Just imagine absorbing all the different accents, the cadences, the cultural nuances of those places growing up.
Definitely. That kind of exposure, it has to soak in.
So he eventually graduated from Roslindale High School. Seems pretty standard. But even then, you could see his artistic inclinations were pulling him in different directions. He enrolled for just a single semester at the prestigious Berklee College of Music.
Yeah. You know,
renowned for its contemporary music programs.
Just one semester, though.
Yeah, just one. It's telling, right? It seems like the traditional academic path with its structure, it wasn't quite big enough for his, like, restless creativity. Instead, he plunged headfirst into Boston's lively, pretty competitive music scene, choosing the crucible of live performance over classroom lectures, basically. He spent his nights honing his craft as a musician, gigging in various bands, soaking up the energy of different genres, different styles.
Well, during the day.
By day, he was selling guitars in a shop right in Harvard Square. So constantly immersed in the tools of his trade, right? Learning about sound, tone, the instruments that make it. It's a quintessential artist's origin story, really.
Yeah.
Balancing the practical need to make a living with that undeniable, passionate pull of creative self-expression.
And this rich, but also, you know, often challenging early life, it inevitably leads us to consider how profoundly those personal experiences influence a performer. Especially their ability to create such a wide array of characters and give them real emotional depth.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Well, Wes has been remarkably open about his internal world. He shared that he was born with ADHD and autism. These diagnoses, they're not just clinical labels. They offer a profound insight into his unique cognitive processing, right? A different way of experiencing and interpreting the world.
That seems really key.
It is. It's not just a detail. It's like a powerful key to understanding his artistry. Imagine a mind that processes sound with such, like, hyper-focus and precision that it can deconstruct a voice down to its tiniest elements, the subtle breath, the unique resonance of specific sounds, the almost imperceptible changes in pitch and timbre.
Wow.
This isn't just mimicry, it's almost like vocal engineering, building characters from the ground up with incredible authenticity, a level of detail others might just miss entirely. These neurodiverse traits, rather than being like obstacles, might have actually equipped him with this exceptional capacity to perceive, analyze, and meticulously recreate vocal nuances, allowing him to inhabit characters with this rare degree of focused immersion and authenticity.
And this next piece from his early life, it's incredibly poignant, and it sheds immense light on his artistic development. He's spoken really candidly about experiencing child abuse from his father.
Yeah, that's tough.
It really is. And this is where the story of his vocal talent takes on a profoundly different resonance. He explicitly stated that he developed his impressionist skills as a way to distract himself from this trauma.
Wow.
Think about that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a young boy facing this deeply frightening, painful reality, using the power of his voice not just for fun, but as a shield, a coping mechanism,
mm-hmm.
a way to mentally escape or maybe transform difficult realities into something creative, even playful sometimes.
Heartbreaking, but also kind of inspiring.
It is. It's a heartbreaking, yet truly inspiring origin for such an outwardly joyful and versatile talent. This ability to transform his voice was, in its earliest form, a profound act of self-preservation, an imaginative refuge, giving him a safe space within the sound of his own creations. This isn't just a fun anecdote about a talented mimic, you know. It's a window into the deep psychological roots of his artistry, where vocal transformation became this fundamental tool for resilience, allowing him to not just survive, but eventually thrive and create.
And looking at the wider picture, we see these formative experiences, these deep personal challenges. They extend into his early adulthood, specifically against the backdrop of the tumultuous Vietnam War era under the Nixon administration. That whole period of intense national unrest, divisive political rhetoric, it undoubtedly shaped many young men of his generation.
For sure.
And Wes, like so many others, found himself directly impacted by that political climate, facing uncertainty about his future.
And the reverberations of that era clearly left a mark on him. It led to a rather humorous kind of long-term artistic consequence. West was subject to the draft lottery, you know, the system they introduced in 69 to select young men for military service. He received a low number in 1970, which, given the war was still going on, likely would have meant enlistment, deployment.
Right, a very real possibility then.
Yeah, the shadow of military service loomed large over his artistic aspirations. However, in a twist of fate that really changed his life's trajectory, he was ultimately classified 4F.
4F.
Yeah, it meant he was deemed permanently ineligible for military service due to specific medical conditions. In his case, it was hypertension, high blood pressure, and flat feet. So this medical exemption was essentially a profound reprieve. It allowed his burgeoning artistic career to continue its natural path instead of being interrupted.
Okay, so he avoided the draft.
Right. Now, fast forward many years, West described his later recurring role as the disembodied head of Richard Nixon on Futurama as his personal revenge against the former president.
Ah, that's brilliant.
Isn't it? It's an incredible example of an artist transforming a deeply personal grievance, a past fear, into iconic, biting, and highly effective satirical art. And in a wonderfully ironic twist, West recounted in a 2019 video post that the biggest joke about his experience was the Richard Nixon Presidential Library and Museum, subsequently including images and footage of the Futurama Nixon character as part of its Nixon in Popular Culture exhibit.
No way. That's amazing.
Yeah. A delightful full circle moment where his revenge was actually recognized as an undeniable, albeit comedic, part of the cultural legacy of the very figure he so brilliantly satirized.
That's perfect. Just perfect.
So with those echoes of Boston's music scene still ringing and those early, often painful experiences shaping his internal world, honing his vocal adaptability, West's distinctive voice was about to find a new kind of stage, one built entirely on sound waves. This marked his profound entry into the world of radio, an essential proving ground for the vocal acrobatics he'd later perfect for a much wider audience.
Absolutely. It was in Boston, particularly at WBCN, where he truly began to hone his on-air persona and refine his craft in that high-pressure creative environment. From 1980 to 1986, he was a key part of an award-winning production team. He performed daily comedic routines on The Big Mattress Show.
Daily routines, wow.
Yeah, this wasn't just a casual gig. This period was a crucial, vital testing ground for his versatility, his rapid-fire comedic timing, and his growing ability to create distinct character voices just like that, on demand. Think about what rapid-fire comedic timing really means on live radio. It's not just speaking quickly.
Right, there's more to it.
It's the split-second decision-making of when to pause for maximum effect, how to inflect a punchline for maximum humor, and instantaneously shifting between distinct personalities without any visual cue for the listener. The Zaley pressure cooker forced him to develop this almost acrobatic vocal agility, transitioning from one character's cadence to another's rhythm in a blink. It was a relentless masterclass in character creation and maintenance, building the bedrock for everything that came next.
That sounds like an invaluable high-intensity training ground, seriously.
Mm.
So from there, he took that incredibly polished skill set to the next level. In 1988, he packed up, moved to the bustling metropolis in New York City, joined the dynamic team at K-Rock Radio, 92.3 FM WXRK.
K-Rock, yeah, big time.
Totally. It was there that he became a regular cast member on the Howard Stern Show, which was already a national phenomenon. And he remained a staple there until 1995. This move dramatically increased his visibility, introduced a vastly wider audience to his incredible range as an impressionist and character actor.
The Stern Show effect.
Definitely. During his tenure, he truly cemented his reputation as a vocal chameleon, delivering impressions that became instantly iconic to the show's millions of listeners. These included uncanny, spot-on portrayals of Larry Fine from The Three Stooges, capturing that signature nasally whine and exasperated reactions.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
And he famously brought to life the notoriously controversial Cincinnati Reds owner Marge Schott, mimicking her distinctive, often gruff, vocal patterns, and delivered hilarious takes on Howard Stern's longtime head writer, Jackie Martling, nailing his distinctive laugh and mannerisms. His ability to capture not just the sound, but the essence and comedic potential of these figures made him indispensable to the show's chaos.
He was perfect for that environment.
His time on Stern, though, wasn't entirely smooth sailing. He eventually left in 1995 over a dispute about money.
Ah, the classic reason.
Yeah, a common point of contention in the often cutthroat entertainment industry. However, his influence on the show was long-lasting and indelible. He even made occasional returns years later, including a special two-part retrospective on The Howard Stern Show in February 2007, which marked his first official work with the show since his 95 departure. He also appeared on Jackie Martling's Jackie's Joke Hunt on Stern's satellite radio channel in June 2009, demonstrating that even after disagreements, the mutual respect for his extraordinary talent endured.
That rigorous period on radio, with its demands for split-second wit, rapid character creation, unparalleled vocal agility, it truly honed his ability to rapidly switch between distinct voices, inhabit various personalities with seamless ease. These weren't just performance skills, they were fundamental building blocks. The dynamic, unpredictable nature of live radio taught him improvisation, how to quickly develop and sustain characters, and how to project a full personality using only sound, all crucial for the fast-paced, character-driven world of animation production that awaited him. He was essentially undergoing a masterclass in vocal performance every single day, training his instrument for its ultimate iconic deployment.
So, leaving the daily grind of radio marked a profoundly pivotal moment. Wes made the strategic, career-defining move to Los Angeles, fully stepping into the burgeoning, dynamic world of voice acting for television. This was where his unique talents would truly blossom, become universally recognized, transforming him into a household name, even if his face remained largely unseen. Interestingly, his very first TV voice role was on the short-lived revival of Beanie and Cecil in 1988, a significant debut that hinted at the iconic characters he was yet to bring to life, marking his official transition from audio to visual audio storytelling.
And that intense period of vocal gymnastics on radio prepared him perfectly for this new frontier, the burgeoning world of animation, particularly with groundbreaking shows like Doug and the Ren and Stimpy Show.
Ah, the Nicktoons era.
Exactly. These weren't just popular cartoons of the time. They were two of the very first three original Nicktoons to launch on Nickelodeon. This was truly groundbreaking animation, redefining children's television by pushing creative boundaries with edgier humor, unique art styles, often surreal narratives that departed sharply from the more, you know, saccharine stuff from previous decades.
Totally different vibe.
To be at the forefront of this new wave meant his voice was integral to shaping a new era of storytelling for an entire generation. These shows were foundational, bold, challenged many conventions, offering a perfect, vibrant canvas for Wes' unique blend of vocal artistry and deeply conceived character depth.
And when we talk about the Ren and Stimpy Show, it's impossible not to hear those voices immediately, right?
Yeah.
That sound echoing in your head.
Instantly.
You know, Stimpy's laugh.
Yeah.
That unmistakable, adorable, goofy, yet sometimes deeply unsettling, hooey sound.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
That was all Billy West, providing the voice for Stimson J-Cat from 1991 until 1996, creating a character that became an instant cultural phenomenon. Stimpy's endearing naivete, his almost childlike innocence, his signature happy, happy, joy, joy catchphrase, it all came directly from West's vocal performance. He brought this blend of sweetness and utter stupidity to the character, making him instantly recognizable and beloved, if slightly bizarre.
But delving into the production of Ren and Stimpy, we uncover a fascinating, somewhat complex story behind Ren Hook's voice. Billy West was originally envisioned to do the voices for both Ren and Stimpy. In fact, he performed both characters on the actual demo tape used to successfully sell the show to Nickelodeon.
Wow, so he could do both from the start.
Exactly. That initial pitch, the foundation the series was greenlit on, showcased his remarkable ability to carry both leads, demonstrated his understanding of their dynamic from the outset. However, once the show was sold, series creator John Kricfalusi decided to take on the speaking voice of Ren himself.
Ah, the creator stepping in.
Yeah, a common occurrence. Creators often want to imbue their characters with their own voice. Despite this, West still provided Ren's distinctive and often manic laughter a crucial element of the character's erratic personality. This early dynamic highlights the initial creative tensions, the collaborative adjustments that often happen behind the scenes of groundbreaking productions.
But then things shifted, didn't they? Dramatically.
It did.
From 1993 to 1996, Kricfalusi was ultimately fired by Nickelodeon. Due to mounting creative disagreements, persistent issues with episode delivery schedules, controversial content choices, a whole mess.
Right, got pretty contentious.
And in a testament to his incredible versatility, adaptability, and just undeniable skill, Billy West seamlessly stepped in to voice Ren, effectively taking on both of the show's titular characters.
Which is a huge undertaking.
Imagine the challenge. Not just filling another actor's shoes, but stepping into a role previously voiced by the show's creator, all while maintaining your other lead role with consistent quality. His versatility was further demonstrated by his portrayal of numerous other memorable characters on the series. He voiced the stoic, perpetually unimpressed Mr. Horse.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Exactly. Another role he took over after Kricfalusi's departure, his deadpan delivery became a fan favorite. And of course, he was the distinctive, booming announcer for the famous Log ads, that wonderfully absurd parody of commercialism.
Log? From Blemo.
That's the one. It's a voice West would later recycle years later as the narrator for the Weird Al show, proving just how memorable and adaptable his vocal creations were, living on in different contexts.
Amazing.
And of course, Ren and Stimpy wasn't his only groundbreaking Nicktoon role. Simultaneously, he was the voice of the show's namesake, Doug Funny, in the equally beloved series Doug, as well as the perpetually antagonistic Roger Klotz.
Doug. Yeah. Another classic.
He brought such genuine relatability and human quality to those characters, made Doug's inner monologues and awkward teenage experiences resonate deeply with millions of young viewers. It's hard to imagine anyone else capturing that specific blend of earnestness, anxiety, and a touch of wide-eyed wonder that defined Doug. West also voiced Doug's dad, Phil Funny, and the popular rock musician character Willie White. Further showcasing his range within just one series, he created the entire Sonic world for Bluffington, basically.
But his commitment to character consistency and artistic vision, it raises an important point about integrity. West has been quite outspoken about his experiences, particularly regarding the later Disney version of Doug.
Oh yeah, what did he say?
He publicly stated that he did not like it, that he couldn't watch the show. This wasn't merely personal preference, it was a strong critique. Reflecting his high standards for character consistency and merit of quality, he felt the new iteration departed significantly from the original spirit and humor, suggesting that he views his roles not just as jobs, but as artistic commitments that must uphold a certain level of creative vision and character fidelity. He truly invested himself in those characters, felt a responsibility to their original essence.
That commitment clearly paid off,
yeah.
Not just in critical acclaim, but in sheer volume. Over his prolific career, West has lent his voice to close to 120 different animated characters.
120, that's staggering.
It's an astonishing number, a testament to his incredible range and the constant demand for his talent. You've heard him as Zim in the original pilot for Invader Zim, though, fascinatingly, he was replaced because his voice was deemed too recognizable, according to creator Jonan Fosquez.
Ah, too famous to play Zim.
Right. A testament to his unique vocal signature and fame in itself. He was the titular, hapless inventor geeker in Project Geeker.
Right.
and even had minor but memorable roles in more adult animated series like Rick and Steve, The Happiest Gay Couple in All the World.
Okay.
And as the classic perpetually frustrated Elmer Fudd in The Looney Tunes Show, he's truly been everywhere, adapting his voice to every conceivable character and genre.
His command over this vast vocal palette, his capacity to not just imitate but truly embody these figures, has earned him immense critical praise. In 1998, Entertainment Weekly famously described West as the new Mel Blanc.
Wow, the Mel Blanc comparison, that's huge.
It speaks volumes, doesn't it? Blanc, of course, the undisputed man of 1,000 voices. Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, countless others. For West to be placed in that same esteemed company, specifically noted for his incredible ability to mimic well-known voices, including those very classic Warner Bros. Characters like Bugs and Daffy, and even stepping into Elmer Fudd, originally voiced by Arthur Q. Bryan, it highlights the extraordinary depth of his technical skill. His understanding of vocal performance, it's a tribute to his ability to replicate and even reinvigorate legendary voices.
That's immense praise, truly. But here's a crucial insight, direct from West himself, that reveals the cornerstone of his artistic philosophy. While he undeniably excels at spot-on impersonations, he has consistently stated that he would much rather develop original voices.
Right, that's key.
He sees himself not just as a master replicator, but as a pure creator. He said his greatest satisfaction comes from building a voice from nothing, infusing it with a unique soul rather than simply perfecting an existing sound. His favorite characters, Philip J. Fry and Stimpy, are both characters he originated, showcasing this profound passion for pure, unadulterated creation. He finds a different, deeper kind of artistic satisfaction in building a voice from the ground up, infusing it with his own unique inflections and personality, creating something entirely new, rather than just replicating someone else's established sound. It's the difference between, like, a virtuoso performing a classic symphony and a composer writing a new one.
And this profound preference for originality also ties into his broader, often vocal, critique of the voice acting industry itself. Wes has been very outspoken about his displeasure regarding the influx of star actors, you know, celebrities from live action, providing voiceover for major animated films and shows.
Yeah, the whole stunt casting thing.
Exactly. He argues passionately for the professionalism and unique skills of trained, career voice actors. He believes that genuine voice actors possess a specialized craft, honed over years through intense training and relentless practice, that allows for a deeper, more nuanced, and consistent character portrayal. He often contrasts this with celebrity stunt casting, which he feels often undermines the integrity of the art form by prioritizing a recognizable name over true vocal talent, and takes crucial opportunities away from dedicated professional voice actors who have dedicated their lives to this very specific craft. He's a true advocate for the unsung heroes of the voice booth.
Okay, now, if we're talking about original voices and incredible versatility and pushing the boundaries of what a single actor can achieve within one show, we absolutely have to talk about Futurama.
Oh, definitely. Futurama.
This iconic animated series became another cornerstone of West's career. Not just showcasing his range, but his unbelievable ability to create multiple, distinct, beloved personalities within a single ensemble. For fans of sci-fi comedy, his contributions were simply foundational, made the show's universe feel so rich and populated.
It's truly astonishing, the sheer number of iconic characters he voices within the Futurama universe. It's not just one or two leads. He isn't just the main protagonist, Philip J. Fry, the lovable slacker from the past. He also provides the voice for the eccentric, often senile, but brilliant Professor Farnsworth. Good news, everyone.
Classic Farnsworth.
Then there's the endearing, perpetually poor alien doctor, Dr. Zoidberg, with his distinctive squawks and oop-a-goop.
Zoidberg, yes.
And of course, the hilariously incompetent, womanizing space captain, Zap Brannigan.
Keep him feeling the captain's itch.
Huh, exactly. But it doesn't stop there. West is also the voice of the wisecracking, cigar-smoking president of Earth, Richard Nixon's head, and countless other additional voices from minor aliens to background characters, populating entire crowds sometimes. The creators and fellow cast members have even pointed out in DVD commentaries that entire conversations within episodes are often held entirely between characters voiced solely by Billy West, a true testament to his mastery.
That's unbelievable.
It isn't just a display of incredible vocal range. It's a testament to his ability to maintain distinct personalities, unique vocal qualities, character consistency, even when engaging in rapid-fire dialogue with himself, making it sound like an ensemble cast of many.
It's absolutely astounding to think about the vocal dexterity required for that.
Mm.
West himself described walking into the Futurama auditions and being asked to try out for, as he says, just about every part imaginable.
They knew what they had in him.
It speaks volumes about the confidence the show's creators, Matt Groening and David X. Cohen, had in his abilities from the outset. Knowing his reputation, he initially landed the roles of Farnsworth, Zoidberg, and the character of Zap Brannigan, already of a formidable trio that would become fan favorites, indelible parts of the show's comedic identity.
And then came Fry.
Right.
Right.
He later secured the main role of Philip J. Fry, a role that had initially been cast with another talented actor, Charlie Schlatter. This change was a pivotal moment for the series.
And connecting this back to West's deeply held philosophy of creating original voices, his voice for Fry is often considered closest to his natural speaking voice. In an audio commentary, West stated that Fry is just himself at age 25.
Huh.
This deliberate similarity, West acknowledges, was a brilliant strategic and artistic move, done purposefully to make it harder to replace him in the part, effectively anchoring the lead character with his own authentic vocal qualities. By infusing Fry with a piece of his younger self, he created a character that was not only deeply personal but also universally relatable, securing his place as the irreplaceable voice of the lead, giving Fry that genuine everyman quality audiences instantly connected with.
That's a fascinating insight into the thought process behind such a central character. Really smart. Now, shifting gears slightly, you the bombastic, arrogant, endlessly incompetent space captain, Zap Brannigan.
Oh, Zap. The Valor Fog.
Huh. That role, with its specific blend of self-importance and utter cluelessness, was actually written specifically for the late, great comedian and voice actor Phil Hartman.
Right, which is so sad. He would have been amazing.
Tragically, Hartman passed away before the show even began production, leaving this enormous comedic void and a huge what-if in animation history.
So West stepped in.
He did. West was then given the challenging, yet ultimately rewarding role of bringing Zap to life. He has described his interpretation of Zap's voice not as a direct impersonation of Hartman, but as an homage, an imitation of Hartman's style, capturing the essence of Hartman's signature, overly dramatic and self-aggrandizing delivery.
But not a copy.
Exactly. He clarified that the actual vocalizations of the character are based on a couple of big dumb announcers I knew.
Huh, that makes sense.
It's a masterful blend of honoring a beloved peer and infusing original comedic observation, resulting in that unique, booming, absurdly confident voice that perfectly conveys Zap's incompetence and misplaced bravado. This approach allowed him to create a character that both acknowledged its origins and stood entirely on its own as a brilliant comedic creation, making Zap Brannigan an iconic figure in his own right, forever tied to West's performance.
He absolutely nailed it. Zap is unforgettable.
Futurama has certainly had quite the journey over the years, hasn't it? A true testament to its enduring quality and devoted fan base. It was initially canceled by Fox in 2003 after 4 seasons, much to the dismay of its passionate viewers.
Yeah, people were not happy about that.
But then, in a miraculous comeback, it was renewed by Comedy Central.
Yeah.
First as 4 direct-to-DVD films between 2007 and 2009. These films were subsequently broken into 16 television episodes, breathing new life into the series. West, of course, reprised all his key roles for these films, demonstrating his unwavering commitment to the characters he helped create.
And that wasn't even the end of it.
Nope. Building on that success, he was signed on for 2 new 26-episode production seasons, which aired between 2010 and 2013, continuing the adventures of Fry and the Planet Express crew for even longer. A rare feat for a canceled show.
And for fans, the story still doesn't end there, highlighting the show's truly enduring appeal. In 2022, it was announced that Futurama would be making yet another highly anticipated return in 2023, this time on Hulu.
The Hulu revival, yes.
Yeah. And crucially, the original cast, including Billy West, was fully on board to reprise their iconic roles. This truly continues his multifaceted legacy with these incredibly beloved and iconic characters, ensuring that his unique vocalizations will continue to bring joy and laughter to new and old audiences alike, solidifying his irreplaceable place in the Futurama universe for years to come. It's a remarkable testament to the character's lasting impact and the irreplaceable talent behind them.
Okay, now, if you thought Billy West's influence stopped at major animated series like Futurama and the Nicktoons, think again. His voice is truly ubiquitous, a constant presence that permeates our daily lives. You've heard him countless times, even if you didn't consciously know it, especially in commercials and video games. He has this remarkable ability to blend into the background of popular culture while simultaneously being one of his most distinctive and frequently heard sounds. He's the unseen architect of so many sonic landscapes we experience.
It's genuinely fascinating to observe the sheer range of products and brands he's given a voice to throughout his career. Before it even became Comedy Central as we know it, he was the promotional announcer for the Comedy Channel, providing that guiding, consistent voice for viewers. He also served as the announcer for the syndicated program Screen Gems Network from 1999 to 2001, giving him a constant, authoritative presence across television. But it's arguably his commercial characters that truly stick most profoundly in the public consciousness and most brilliantly highlight his unique talent for brand personification. He brings this intangible quality to mascots and spokescharacters, makes them feel not just alive, but distinctly memorable, creating an instant connection with the product.
Exactly. You know Red, the plain milk chocolate M&M?
Of course, the sarcastic one.
That's Billy West, a role he took over from actor John Lovitz in 1996 and continues to voice to this day. His portrayal of Red as the cynical, often exasperated, but ultimately lovable leader of the M&M crew has made him one of the most recognizable and enduring candy mascots globally. And who can forget Buzz, the cheerful, optimistic bee for Honey Nut Cheerios?
Be happy, be healthy.
That was Billy West, too, a role he voiced from 1990 to 2004, spreading morning cheer and that sense of wholesome deliciousness. He also lent his distinctive voice to Popeye for Minute Maid orange juice commercials, perfectly capturing the sailor's gruff but good-hearted demeanor, and even voiced a distinctive alien character for early Pentium 4 computer commercials, showcasing his ability to adapt his voice to totally different brands, demographics, even tech products.
His versatility in advertising extended to voicing iconic figures for major campaigns, too. He embodied legends like Babe Ruth, Mickey Goldmill, Rocky Balboa's trainer.
Get up, you bum.
And Bruce Lee for brisk iced tea advertisements, proving his capability to mimic not just cartoon characters, but historical and cinematic legends, giving them a contemporary comedic twist. He was also the voice of Marfalump, a unique elephant-like mascot created for Pepsi from 1999 to 2000, specifically designed to tie in with the highly anticipated release of Star Wars, Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Wow, a Star Wars tie-in character.
Yeah, a perfect example of his voice being used for major cross-promotional campaigns and blockbuster movie marketing. And in a testament to his uncanny ability to replicate voices with precision, he even voiced the Speed Racer character in a late 1990s Volkswagen ad because the commercial's producers could not locate Peter Fernandez, the original voice of Speed.
No kidding. They couldn't find Speed Racer.
Apparently not. But in a stroke of good luck, they did locate Corinne Orr, the original voice for Trixie and Spriddle, allowing for an authentic partial reunion. This anecdote beautifully showcases the precise nature of these casting decisions and West's unique skill set in filling such specific vocal demands when original actors were unavailable, proving his unparalleled value.
And his work extends far beyond just commercials and television, reaching into major feature films and an absolutely staggering list of video games, making him a true fixture across nearly every entertainment medium imaginable. He's been instrumental in bringing beloved cartoon characters to the big screen.
Yeah.
In the 1996 live-action animated hybrid film Space Jam.
Space Jam. Loved that movie.
He masterfully voiced both Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd, taking on roles originated by the legendary Mel Blanc, bringing those iconic characters to a new generation of filmgoers. He also notably became only the second person to voice Norville Shaggy Rogers in Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island in 1998.
Stepping in for Casey Kasem, basically.
A significant milestone for a character previously almost exclusively voiced by Kasem, demonstrating his ability to maintain continuity for beloved characters. More recently, he portrayed the grumbling but loyal Muttley in the 2020 CGI film Scoob, showing his continuing relevance in major animated feature films, seamlessly stepping into these iconic roles across different animation styles and generations.
And when we consider the broader picture of his sheer volume of work, his video game roles are astonishingly diverse and utterly critical to the player experience. Beyond his numerous Looney Tunes characters across various games like Bugs Bunny, Lost in Time, and Looney Tunes Racing, he voiced Stimpy in multiple Ren and Stimpy video games, Dr. Zoidberg in the Simpsons game, and of course his entire array of Futurama characters in the dedicated Futurama game from 2003, allowing players to interact directly with his iconic creations.
That must have been amazing for fans.
Totally. His contributions also include characters like Nash and Zam in Crash Nitro Kart, various voices for the player character in the critically acclaimed RPG Baldur's Gate II, Shadows of Am, the acrobatic Murphy in Rayman 3, Hoodlum Havoc, Muttley in Little Gruesome in Wacky Races, starring Dastardly in Muttley, and Red in M&M's, The Lost Formulas. More recently, he's voiced characters for the popular Skylanders series, served as the engaging narrator for Minecraft Story Mode, and reprised Ren and Stimpy for Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. His pervasive and consistent contributions here are a powerful testament to the essential, yet often unseen, role of voice actors in creating truly immersive digital worlds, where their performances are as crucial to the overall experience as the graphics, gameplay, and narrative. They're truly the unsung heroes bringing these virtual realities to life.
Okay, so beyond the countless voices we recognize and the characters we love, what else truly defines Billy West, the man behind the mic? You might be surprised to learn about his significant musical endeavors, his early and forward-thinking adoption of online platforms, and the deeply personal experiences he shared that add profound layers to his incredible talent, giving us a much more complete and nuanced portrait of the artist.
It's particularly fascinating that West isn't solely defined by his voice acting.
Yeah.
He's also an accomplished guitarist and a talented singer-songwriter.
A musician too, okay.
Yeah. He leads a band called Billy West and the Grief Counselors. They've released their first album, titled Meepod, showcasing a different facet of his artistic expression. His musical prowess isn't just a side hobby or a casual interest. It's a serious commitment. He's toured as a guitarist for bona fide legendary musicians like Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison, wow.
And the mastermind behind the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. Which speaks volumes about his respected standing in the music community. This deep engagement with music undoubtedly feeds into his voice work, enriching his understanding of rhythm, phrasing, harmony, the nuanced emotional arc of performance, allowing him to approach characters with a musician's ear for sound and tempo. In 1982, he even sang lead, impressively impersonating Mike Love on a Beach Boys-inspired tune called Another Cape Cod Summer This Year with a studio band called Route 28, further highlighting his vocal versatility outside of character work.
And his musical collaborations are just as impressive as his solo ventures. He's worked with a truly remarkable roster of artists, including Deborah Harry, the iconic frontwoman of Blondie.
Debbie Harry. Cool.
The legendary and boundary-pushing Lou Reed. And the acclaimed Roots rock band Los Lobos. These collaborations speak volumes about his respected standing across various musical genres, extending his influence far beyond voice acting. He's also played live on several occasions with Brian Wilson, including a particularly memorable guitar solo on the Beach Boys classic tune Do It Again on Late Show with David Letterman in the mid-90s.
On Letterman, nice.
A moment that highlighted his talent to a national audience. And in a cool full-circle moment that perfectly blends his musical and animation worlds, his band Wailing Fungus, which he formed with Greg Leon, had their track Shut Up and Love Me, notably featured in the Futurama episode Proposition Infinity. It's a fantastic example of his diverse creative passions converging in unexpected and delightful ways.
That's awesome.
He also demonstrated remarkable foresight and an entrepreneurial spirit by embracing the evolving online world early on. He lent his distinctive voice to characters in some of the pioneering web cartoons of the era, like Eric Kaplan's Zombie College, where he played both Graham and Julius F., and also for the cult hit Tofu the Vegan Zombie. These early ventures into digital content show he was always looking ahead, not just sticking to traditional media, exploring new platforms. And in July 2015, he launched his own podcast show, a deeply personal venture where he truly shines, often performing numerous characters per episode, creating a dynamic one-man show for his listeners. It features recurring segments like Song Demolition, where he dissects popular tunes with humor and insight. Billy Bassard, amateur human being, offering his candid and often humorous observations on life. And even includes special guests like comedian Jim Gomez. This truly highlights his enduring passion for creating and performing, constantly finding new avenues to share his talents directly with his audience, connect on a more intimate level.
And this willingness to engage with new platforms, share himself more directly. It connects to an important question about authenticity, vulnerability, and the complex interplay between life experience and creative output. West has been incredibly open and candid about deeply personal aspects of his life. We've previously touched upon his childhood trauma and how he harnessed it to develop his impressionist skills, transforming a painful experience into a powerful artistic tool.
Right, that coping mechanism.
Beyond that, he is a prostate cancer survivor, a battle he has bravely shared publicly, discussing the physical and emotional pull it took. He has also spoken openly about his struggles with bouts of depression, sharing these experiences with a level of transparency that is both rare and incredibly impactful for a public figure. This willingness to be vulnerable allows his audience to connect with him on a deeper, more human level, fostering a profound understanding of the complex man behind the many, often comedic, voices, and demonstrating immense personal resilience.
And further adding to that transparency and depth of self-understanding, in 2019, he revealed on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast that he is, in fact, on the autism spectrum, having been formally diagnosed.
Oh, okay. That provides context.
These insights into his neurodiversity offer another fascinating and crucial layer of understanding to his unique perception of the world, his acute attention to detail, and his exceptional creative output. Imagine a heightened sensory processing where the subtle textures, rhythms, emotional weights of human speech are amplified and dissected. This allows him to inhabit characters with a rare degree of focused immersion and authenticity, not just mimicking his sound, but truly understanding its sonic architecture. It provides a profound context for the way his mind works, how he processes information, and how that translates into his extraordinary ability to craft distinct and nuanced vocal performances, almost as if his unique way of seeing the world allows him to hear and replicate it in ways others cannot, making him a truly unique vocal craftsman.
And finally, when we consider the wider implications of his critical thinking, his public commentary on political figures, while not directly related to his voice work, often reflects his keen observational skills and a sharp wit, traits perhaps enhanced by his neurodiversity. He has been critical of figures like Dick Cheney and the Republican Party, for instance, describing Republican senators as old men with bad breath and dandruff.
Oof. Very specific.
A very specific and characteristically biting observation. Perhaps most notably, he famously mocked Donald Trump's tweets by reading them in character as Zap Brannigan, drawing humorous and often cutting similarities between Trump's grandiosity and the Futurama antagonist's clueless arrogance.
Oh, I remember seeing those. They were hilarious.
Yeah. For example, he would read Trump's all-caps proclamations with Zap's distinctive, booming, self-important delivery, perfectly highlighting the absurdity. This demonstrates how his professional artistry and deep understanding of character work can be a tool for broader social and political commentary. He uses his characters to highlight observations and comedic parallels without personally taking sides on political issues, but rather conveying ideas and critiques that were contained within the original source material in a uniquely entertaining way. It's a way for an artist to engage with the world through their craft, offering a unique, often satirical perspective.
So after this incredible journey, what does this all mean? We've journeyed through the intricate, multifaceted life and career of Billy West, a man whose voice has quite literally shaped generations of animation, significantly influenced the sound of radio, enhanced countless commercials, and brought beloved characters to vibrant life across every imaginable entertainment medium. It's a legacy that continues to grow and evolve with each new project.
It's genuinely fascinating to reflect on his unparalleled ability. He doesn't just mimic. He truly inhabits and creates unique, memorable identities for a staggering array of characters. He's not simply a voice actor. He's like an alchemist of sound. He manipulates his oral cavity, tongue position, breath control, even the tension in his vocal cords to produce entirely distinct timbres and resonances. It's akin to a musician mastering every instrument in an orchestra with just their vocal apparatus, creating a unique sonic fingerprint for each character.
That's a great way to put it.
We mentioned that early comparison to Mel Blanc, a testament to his technical skill and versatility. However, his deeply expressed preference for developing original voices rather than simply impersonating others, that's a crucial distinction, a mark of his true artistic ambition and significant contribution to the art form. He wanted to build new worlds of sound, not just inhabit existing ones, which speaks to a deeper creative drive.
Yeah, the creator versus the replicator.
And zooming out, Billy West stands as a towering testament to the profound power of the human voice, not merely as a tool for communication, but as an extraordinarily versatile instrument of imagination, masterful storytelling, and deep character development. His work reminds us how integral voice actors are to the magic of animation and beyond. Often crafting the very soul of the characters we cherish, they are the unseen heroes who bring words on a page to vibrant, unforgettable life, allowing us to connect with fantastical beings and relate to their deepest emotions.
You now know the intricate stories behind the voices of Stimpy and Ren, Philip J. Fry and Professor Farnsworth, the iconic Red M&M, and even the lightning-fast Speed Racer. You've heard how early life experiences, including profound personal trauma, pivotal stints in radio, a deep and unique artistic philosophy, and a natural neurodiverse talent all converge to create one of the most recognizable yet often unrecognized voices of our time. He is a true unsung hero of entertainment, shaping our cultural landscape one memorable sound at a time. It makes you realize just how much goes into those familiar, comforting, and often hilarious sounds we hear every day. As we wrap up this deep dive into the extraordinary world of Billy West, consider this provocative thought. What does it truly take to disappear so completely into a character? To create a voice that is both entirely new, instantly iconic, and resonates across decades? Is it simply innate talent or something far more profound? A blend of resilience, meticulous observation, and an almost alchemical understanding of sound itself.
His journey, marked by personal struggles from childhood trauma, triumphs from Boston bands, the creation of beloved characters for Futurama, and countless other projects, it shows us that sometimes the most challenging personal experiences and unique neurological perspectives can forge the most extraordinary and empathetic talents. It raises an important question, doesn't it? How many other unsung heroes, how many other voices are out there, quietly shaping the cultural landscape, bringing joy and recognition, often through hidden artistry, without us ever truly knowing the depth of their craftsmanship or the incredible life journey that brought them there? What familiar voices around you might hold similar, fascinating, untold stories?
Think about that the next time you hear a familiar animated voice, a catchy commercial jingle, or a character in a video game. Is it just an actor performing lines, or is it a deep dive into character, born from a lifetime of unique experiences, passion, unparalleled skill, and a profound connection to the art of sound? Thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive, where we bring you the stories behind the knowledge.